Good morning to you. You're very welcome to the programme. We would like you to take part in the show this morning. On a morning when there's a sadness holding over, I think, a lot of people when they hear about the news from Manchester. Brutal attack on society, and indeed, as brutal attacks on society go, last night in Manchester was as brutal as you'll get. The very young female fan base of a pop star targeted by a suicide bomber. 22 people, including children, killed and many maimed, others fighting for their lives. So how do we stop this happening? And indeed, how will Manchester cope? And could we be at risk here in Northern Ireland? Your opinions are very welcome on the programme this morning. I want to speak to Peter Murray, who's available to have a conversation with us. Peter, a very well-established journalist, a lecturer at Manchester University as well. Peter, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Frank.
Peter, you're close to that security cordon in Manchester at the present moment. The feelings in the city, they must be so dark this morning.
I think that, I'm about, 200, 300 metres away from the venue itself, from the arena. And actually, a couple of hundred metres away from the site of the IRA bombing here in the 1990s. So this is a city that has been touched by events like this in the past. So here at the cordon, there is a kind of visibly a police presence around the place and a number of other venues as I was coming towards here a short time ago. Definitely a sense of shock around the city. And I think the newly elected mayor of Manchester, Andy Burnham, I think will be making efforts to address that kind of sectarian concerns that there will be that in this city, a very diverse city, a multicultural city, and there'll be some concerns amongst people like Burnham and some of the politicians, and certainly among senior police figures, to try and calm people and to make sure that there isn't some kind of sectarian or religious ethnic backlash against this attack.
And as we speak, Andy Burnham and indeed the Chief of Police in Manchester, they're liaising online with the government and the Cobra meeting at Downing Street. But what can they do? What can they do?
Well, when Ian Hopkins, the Chief Constable of Greater Manchester Police, he made a statement, about 2 hours ago? And he was concerned, to say that people shouldn't speculate about the identity of the bomber or the reasons for the attack or whatever. Their concern, I think, amongst the police is to find out whether this was a single person acting alone or whether there was a network involved. Now, listening to what people have been saying over the last couple of hours, because this was an attack using explosives, they're suggesting that there probably was some kind of network involved, that there was logistic support for this, that there's an expert bomb maker possibly in this part of the northwest of England who's responsible for this. So I guess people in Northern Ireland will be familiar with these, the activities of small cells of that kind. So I guess the police and the security services will be on the lookout for traces of that and traces of their activity and contacts with one another to see if they can find out whether indeed this was somebody acting alone who just happened to have the knowledge about how to make a bomb or whether there was a network of support behind them.
And up on our screens, we're beginning to get faces of people who are most likely killed. They're being described as missing at the moment, and they are but children.
Exactly. That's there's no question this is the most shocking aspect of the attack, that the Ariana Grande is popular amongst young girls, teenage girls, and so on, and so they may well have made up the bulk of the audience there. We do know that there were their parents who were coming to pick up their children as the attack happened, because it was right at the end of the concert. So there were older people in the audience or in the foyer where the attack took place. But it deliberately targeting young girls and young people, desperately shocking event.
If you're going to attack an Ariana Grande concert, then I think people like that would attack anything. It was the vast majority of people I saw after the explosion were teenage girls, and I spoke to one family who a dad who was looking for his 12-year-old daughter and 14-year-old daughter and his wife. So that's the kind of audience age profile that was there. And yeah, it's just not necessarily, I guess, like you say, where you'd expect a terror attack. But then I guess that's, these people know no, they've got no morals.
Yeah, they don't care who they absolutely don't care who they kill. There was fine public spirit in Manchester last night, in fairness to local people, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was last night, and there has been before. People were going on Twitter offering rooms to people that were stranded. Hotels were taking people in and letting them wait in reception. Cab drivers were taking people home for free or taking them to hospital. And obviously the stories that haven't really come out yet, there'll have been, you know, hundreds of people who will have been helping complete strangers at a scene of, you know, something that no one would wish to see, and tending to them and trying to give them first aid and look after them.
Richard, I appreciate you speaking to us. I know you've been up all night covering it. Thanks for your time this morning. Thank you. Let me speak to Deirdre Maguire from DeirdreMaguire.com, who's been listening to the unfolding events overnight and this morning. Deirdre, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you this morning?
Deirdre, I'm fine. I'm just thinking, like you're thinking, about the people who are in Manchester and what they're going through, and indeed what, I suppose, society is going through with this horror.
So this is my contribution, Frank, as a mind wellness expert. I want to offer, you know, a snapshot insight into the mind and how we work. So very briefly, this is what happens. We come into the world, we're perfect. We come into an imperfect world. We have experiences in the world, and we collect these experiences in memories. Enough memories, we start to form beliefs about ourselves. And with those beliefs, we then create an identity. And this is who we think we are. You think you're Frank, you're Catholic, you're Irish, you're, you know, we have an identity of ourselves. And then from that identity, those cultural conditionings, we produce thoughts. And those thoughts produce feelings. The thoughts in our minds produce feelings, which are actually just chemical reactions in our body. And based on those feelings, which we call emotions, we take action. Okay, so essentially we are a results machine. That's all. We are a results machine. So the question is, do you like the results you're producing? I was listening to your program a few weeks ago, and I heard a man describing 17 IVFs before they had their twins, the boy and the girl. So imagine coming into that world, if you were that twin. Compare that to your number 12 of 13. She is a baby-making machine. He is a drunkard, and you look like him, so she can't even stand the look of you. So the question is it the baby, or is it the experiences, the environment that you come into?
Yes, so, but how do you link that to a guy being so evil that he walks in and kills numerous children with a bomb?
Because he is a results machine. If you were in his shoes, you would very likely do exactly the same thing.
But how?
Based on the experiences that you have and the memories and the beliefs that you now have. What you believe to be true is true for you. He believed that he was right. What you believe to be true is true for you. You have a certain moral compass. You have an emotional conditioning compass. He's just a results machine. And the thing is that if we operate from this, then we have a better chance of understanding it and moving forward. When 9/11 happened, the angry people got angry, the guilty people got guilty, the scared people got scared. The people who are phoning in this morning are the people who are venting their hatred from their own personal past experiences. It has nothing to do with what's happening in Manchester. It's to do with what they are internally producing within themselves based on their life experiences.
Yes, so but Jeffrey, there's two separate things. There are people who are contacting us this morning who hate Muslims, and there are people who are contacting us this morning who hate the guy who detonated the bomb. To me, they're two entirely different forms of hatred. One is completely acceptable, to hate the guy who walked in and detonated the bomb.
I challenge you.
Let me finish this. To hate Muslims is completely unacceptable.
So
So hold on. You're challenging people who hate the bloke who killed the children.
I challenge the people who hate. Does hatred serve? Does hatred serve? Answer that. Does hatred serve? That's the question.
Right, good morning. I'll tell you what, Dirty McGuire certainly gets reaction if she comes on the programme. She's been on the programme before as a guest, but today she did phone through with her opinion in relation to the terrorist attacker last night. Stephen says, stop her now, Frank. Enough is enough. This texter says, I've never heard as much crap coming out of a woman's mouth ever. Don't know why you let her ramble on so long, says Robbie. Well, I would like to think that you heard me challenge her. I'd like to think that you heard my summary. But at the same time, if someone phones the programme, they are entitled to an opinion. They're entitled to an opinion as long as it's legal and not breaking any rules or regulations. Eloquent to a fault, you know, she is entitled to her opinion. And she gets support from a lady called Claire. Frank, I agree with Deirdre McGuire. We need to think differently. She makes a lot of good points. Thank you for giving her airtime. See, there's the other side of the coin. However, most of the texts are against her. Is that Egypt, and this is how you're describing her, actually trying to justify that scumbag's actions? I know you can't say this on air, but as far as he's concerned, and whatever his childhood was like, and then you say, I'll just say bleep him, okay? He's a coward to the nth degree, says Bill. There's also a challenge a few minutes ago from, I think, two people who got in touch with us saying, where are those of the Muslim faith this morning? I think a gentleman on this line wants to describe himself as a person who is a Muslim. Good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, you have some points that you'd like to make.
Well, first of all, our thoughts for the people who actually lost loved ones, and our prayers as well. And to be honest with you, thanks ever so much for having me as well. And thank you ever so much for your comments earlier on. The general politics of Northern Ireland or the whole world, they are actually in very understanding of religion, of Islam. Islam means peace. And none of the Muslim faith ever accept any killing of any human being. There is no moderate Muslim or extreme Muslim or relaxed Muslim or easygoing Muslim. Muslim is a Muslim which is condemns every type of violence, no matter what religion or color or nationality. It's very, very simple. And that's what actually Islam is about. And people, they might say, oh, but they pretend or they would like to say this and do the opposite. It's completely wrong. It's really, really simple. Islam is peace. And we do really condemn everything does happen to innocent people or any people, you know, human being generally.
So let me stop you there and then ask the obvious question for people who aren't across the details of the faith. How is it then that we have so many people who are involved in terrorism who believe that if they kill the infidels, they will have the reward of heaven? How has that been allowed to get into the minds of those who believe they are of the Islamic faith when they carry out acts of terrorism? Where has the bastardization of your faith happened?
Well, you see, the way the media look at things and they pick up bits and pieces and they actually go and they name the infidels and believers and all these sort of things. Islam is very clear. There is nothing as such as infidels and unbelievers and all these sort of things. Because Islam, actually, you have to believe in Judaism, you have to believe in Christianity to actually call yourself a Muslim. And if we look back at the history, there is a lot of people, they don't even believe in God and they never ever had a faith. They lived under the Islam and under the umbrella of Islam. And nobody ever actually bothered with these people here. Well, it's actually the opposite. They've been protected and they've been actually guarded under, you know, the umbrella of Islam.
Let's speak to Margaret, who's on line one. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, Margaret.
Well, Frank, you're getting on my nerves to start off with, referring to S. Palmer as the guy. He doesn't even serve the guy. He's a scumbag.
Okay, it's not a word that rolls off my tongue. I think I have referred to him as a male. Maybe I did say as a guy who attacked the children. But yeah, okay, I'll take that one. It's conversational. But go ahead.
He knew exactly who he was targeting, that bomb, and that bomb's only going to lead to a bigger bomb. And on Lee Rigsby's anniversary, disgrace, every single one of them needs shipped out of this country. And for walking about with these ropes on them, see, if it was my child, I would pull a rake off their face today.
Just now, Margaret, just hold on. When you say every one of them needs shipped out of this country, you're talking about the terrorists. You're talking about...
Yes, every one of them, Muslim terrorists, and they know who they are.
No, but hold on. Are you talking about the actual bombers, or are you talking about the Muslim people?
The Muslim people.
Margaret, you are not welcome on this program, if you don't mind me saying.
That's okay.
What did you say? What did you say about pulling? Did you say pulling the robes off them?
Yes, why? That's not on the news, sir. With them children's deaths being reported, a few of them walking by with the rags on them. Bloody disgrace.
Hold on, Margaret. I'm failing to fully grasp what you're saying. What do you mean by the rags on them?
Them rags. Well, put it like this, Frank. They're in that town, they're on the shankle, they're everywhere shopping.
Hold on, Margaret. You really need... Hold on, I'm going to stop you here. You really need to go and have a long look at yourself. If you are describing the attire of a Muslim person as a rag, I am ashamed that I've allowed you on this radio program. Goodbye. I couldn't fully understand what she was saying. That is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard on this radio program in 10 years. Aoife's got a point to make. Aoife, good morning.
Hello, Frank.
Yes, Aoife.
Look, I just want to point out that once again, we have taken a situation that is so horrific. There are people who have been killed, there are children missing, and yet we've turned it once again into us versus them. We've taken a situation in which a terrorist who is using a religion, who is shaming other people who are part of that religion, to justify their actions, and we've turned it into, yeah, well, this Catholic said that, and this Protestant said that, and it's just, it's not right. We shouldn't be focusing on ourselves in a time like this. We need to be looking at these people who are terrorists, who are not part of a religion, who are not part of an association of any kind of religion, and we need to be saying, we need to fix this. We need to work with these people.
You sound young to me, Aoife, if you don't mind me saying. Am I right?
Yeah.
You didn't live...
Yeah, I'm 16
years
old.
You're 16. Well, that's understandable. First of all, I really appreciate you phoning the programme, and I'm not in any way going to put you on the back foot, but those of us who are older did live a sectarian war here in Northern Ireland, so you can't divorce it totally from Northern Ireland. We have lived through terrorism here, but I take on board what you're saying. These people who are attacking kids in a nightclub or in a pop concert are terrorists who have used and abused a language to benefit themselves and their point of view. And that is the main thrust of the argument today and should be the main thrust of the argument.
Yeah, and I respect that these older people in Ireland and in Northern Ireland have lived through such a terrible time into which... to a divided society, we're harming each other. But that is in the past, and we need to work forward in our own society and to build relationships and to get rid of that. But that's not what we were talking about today. These are people who are using religion to justify killing innocent people, people who have nothing to do with them. They are not part of a religion. As young as I am, and I may have not lived through the Troubles, I have never met a person who is associated with any god who is horrible or cruel. Anyone who is really devoted to a god or to a religion has been lovely and spreads nothing but love and peace and unification. And that's not what these people are doing. They are taking bombs, they are strapping themselves to them. Their minds are so warped into this ideology that they are better than everyone else. And they are using it to sacrifice innocent lives for a point. And it's just not good enough.
Aoife, I really appreciate you, especially as a 16-year-old coming on to the programme when so many people of your own age were indeed killed across in Manchester last night. Thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you.